You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
2 years after the Boston Marathon bombings of April 15, 2013, and 1 month after his trial began, accused bomber Jahar Tsarnaev faced his final day of trial on Monday. Assistant U.S. Attorney Alok Chakravarti delivered the government's closing arguments, as did members of Tsarnaev's defense team. The prosecution argued that Tsarnaev is a cold-blooded killer intent on plotting an attack on America. His defense team, meanwhile, argued that Tsarnaev took part in the bombing, but argued he was under the influence of his older brother and would not have been in this position had it not been for Tamerlan. It's now up to the jury to deliberate on the case, which will most likely result in a conviction, and on the punishment, which may or may not be the death penalty. Daniel Medwed is a law professor at Northeastern University and an expert in criminal law. He's here to explain where things stand with the trial and what's next. Daniel Medwed, welcome.
Hello, Todd.
Thanks for being with us. Tell us about the closing arguments made by the prosecution. We recap them in brief. Jahar Tsarnaev and his attorneys have not in any way suggested that he wasn't responsible and that he shouldn't be punished.
Absolutely. The thrust of the prosecution's closing argument, Todd, was that Jahar was an equal partner in crime, that he wasn't under the sway of his domineering older brother. Because throughout this trial, the defense theory is that Jahar was just a minor player, that it was Tamerlan who led the charge here. And the idea is that eventually that might be a factor in sentencing. If, in fact, Jahar is considered to be a minor participant, that could prompt the jury to spare his life.
So that's the positioning here. It's all about sentencing. What does the law say? What does the judge say to the jury that makes the idea that he was a follower, not a co-equal in these crimes, relevant here?
Well, in the guilt phase right now, Todd, it's not particularly relevant. What matters is whether the prosecution can prove these counts, and there are 30 counts, 17 of which potentially carry the death penalty, if the prosecution can prove them beyond a reasonable doubt. But it will matter significantly at sentencing when the prosecution bears the burden of presenting what are called aggravating factors, that there was substantial planning and preparation, that the crime was perpetrated in a particularly heinous or cruel nature. Whereas the defense will argue minor participation. So the judge will be mindful of the different aggravating and mitigating factors at the sentencing phase. So it's certainly more pertinent down the road.
Those of us who are at a distance from this trial, and certainly not jurors, certainly not in the courtroom, have a hard time attaching to the argument of minor participation when there is video of Jahar placing the bombs at the bombing site at the finish line of the Boston Marathon. There is video of him having a shootout with police and all of the other things that went on. It's getting inside the head of two brothers that the defense is asking the jury to do here when there's evidence in the other direction all over the place.
Todd, you're not alone. I think people here in Boston feel the same way. The defense has done a very good job, however, to some extent, of putting Tamerlan on trial. Jahar is tried with these offenses, but really it's happening under the shadow of his older brother's legacy. And they're tapping into feelings of sibling rivalry, of older brothers dictating the flow of a younger brother's life. And I agree with you. When you look at the video and you hear this evidence, it's hard to think that Jahar was just a minor participant. But the defense, shockingly, has done a really good job, I think, it's hard to say at this point, of at least trying to present that counter story.
What have they done to present Tamerlan, the older brother, as a jihadist, as the driving force behind this conspiracy and these crimes, his interaction with jihadists overseas? What does that picture look like?
Well, there's been a lot of – this is the quintessential 21st century case because there's a significant digital footprint for both Jahar and Tamerlan. So there's been a lot of evidence about their online activity, what Tamerlan has done. There's evidence that he downloaded bomb-making instructions, that he frequented jihadist websites, things of that nature. There's also evidence that Jahar did similar things as well. But to some extent, their digital footprint has been part of that narrative. Now, whether they succeed or not remains to be seen, and we probably won't know until the sentencing phase.
And we should point out, again, I'm at a distance from this, so you'll correct me if I'm wrong, that there isn't any direct evidence that Tamerlan drove this conspiracy and that his younger brother tried to resist or said, no, I don't want to do this, or you're making me uncomfortable, and eventually gave in.
Absolutely right. Most of the evidence here is circumstantial. In fact, much of the direct evidence does go against Jahar. There's the video evidence of him placing the backpack outside a restaurant in the vicinity of an 8-year-old boy who later died in horrific fashion. There's evidence that was presented at trial that Jahar acquired the gun, a Ruger pistol, that was later used to kill MIT police officer Sean Collier. So a lot of the direct evidence does point to direct involvement on the part of Jahar. But a lot of the circumstantial evidence does suggest that Tamerlan was the driving force here.
Now, this is a federal case, not a Massachusetts state case, correct? Which means the death penalty is in play. Do we have any sense in a federal case like this how likely that is for Jahar Tsarnaev?
It's hard to read the tea leaves on that, Todd. 17 of these charges, as I indicated, could carry the death penalty. There have been 2 federal death penalty prosecutions in Massachusetts in recent years. If I recall correctly, in one case, the jury voted for death. In another case, they voted for life. So to some extent, we just don't know.
The case of Jahar Tsarnaev in the Boston bombing trial 2 years later heads to the jury. Daniel Medved, Northeastern professor of law, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Todd.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.